Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe, text number 3. Sachaham vita lobena pradyakshakshe katam drijam prashuchita dadamiti paradi kitavo yata Sa, such a person as I am. Cha, also. Aham, I am. Vita lobena, for being a lord by greed for money. Pradyak chakshe, I shall cheat or say no when I've already said yes. Dadami, that I shall give. Iti, thus. Parada, I am who famous as the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. Kitava, an ordinary cheater. Yata, just like. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlada. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money when I have already said that I shall give this land? How shall I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially towards a brahmana? Purport, Bali Maharaj had already been blessed by his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, he was a pure devotee, although born in a family of demons. There are 82 kinds of highly elevated devotees called Sadhana Siddha and Kripa Siddha. Sadhana Siddha refers to one who has become a devotee by regular execution of the regular principles mentioned in the Shastras, as ordered and directed by the spiritual master. If one regularly executes such devotional service, he will certainly attain perfection in due course of time. There are other devotees who may have not undergone all the required details of devotional service, but who, by the special mercy of Guru and Krishna, the spiritual master, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, have immediately attained the perfection of pure devotional service. Examples of such devotees are the Yajnapatnis, Maharaj Bali and Shukadeva Goswami. The Yajnapatnis were the wives of ordinary brahmanas engaged in fruitive activities. Although the brahmanas were very learned and advanced in Vedic knowledge, they could not achieve the mercy of Krishna Balaram. Whereas their wives achieved complete perfection in devotional service despite their being women. Similarly, Vairochani Bali Maharaj received the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj, and by Prahlad Maharaj's mercy, he also received the mercy of Lord Vishnu, who had appeared before him as a brahmachari beggar. Thus, Bali Maharaj became a Kripa Siddha because of the special mercy of both Guru and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms this favor. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19-151. Bali Maharaj, by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, got the seed of devotional service, and when that seed developed, he achieved the ultimate fruit of that service, namely love of Godhead, Prema Pamartha Mahan. Immediately upon the appearance of Lord Vamadeva, Bali Maharaj regularly maintained devotion for the Lord, and because he was purified, the Lord appeared before him. Because of unalloyed love for the Lord, he then immediately decided, I shall give this little dwarf brahmana whatever he asks for me. This is a sign of love. Thus, Bali Maharaj is understood to be one who achieved the highest perfection of devotional service by special mercy. Sachaha vita lobena Pratya chakshe katam dvijam prati shutya didamiti paradi kitavo yata. I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlada. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money? When I've already said that I will give this land, how can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially towards a brahmana? In this verse, it talks about mercy. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also talks about mercy. But here it talks about special mercy. But generally, mercy comes from hearing. Generally, we think mercy means someone waves their hand or they give you some benediction out of mercy or produce some gold out of the air and then give you a little bit of it out of mercy. But the real mercy is to wake us up to our spiritual consciousness. After all, even we give someone gives someone a mountain of gold, then what good is it? If in your next lifetime you're going to be an ant, maybe living underneath the mountain of gold. Just like when Bali Maharaj, when Ravana went to get benedictions from Bali Maharaj so that he could fight against Lord Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra showed him a room which he wanted to donate the jewel in the room to Ravana to help him in his fight against Lord Ramachandra. But the room was hundreds of stories high and it was made out of diamond with different decorations of gold. So Bali Maharaj told Ravana, yes, this is my donation for you. Just take it home with you if you can carry it. He tried to lift it up, but he couldn't. It was so heavy. And then Bali Maharaj laughed and said, my dear Ravana, in your last lifetime, this was your earring. And now you can't even lift it up. When you were Hiranyakashipu fighting against Nrisimhadev, in the fight, one of your earrings fell off your ear and landed here. And this is your earring. So previously you wore this as an ordinary earring, and now in your next incarnation, you're Ravana, you can't even pick it up. And yet that same Nrisimhadev has appeared as Lord Ramachandra, and you want to fight against him. Now you're thousands and millions of times smaller and less capable of fighting than your previous incarnation as Hiranyakashipu. And Lord Nrisimhadev and Lord Ramachandra, they're the same person, and you want to fight against him. How foolish can you get? So similarly, we want benedictions, but whatever benediction we get is not going to, at least from the material point of view, is not going to help us in next lifetime. As a matter of fact, if we get the wrong benediction and we misuse it, like Vrikasura, he also wanted benedictions from Lord Shiva, but it was not a very good benediction. And the result is that his head cracked into thousands of pieces. Vrikasura's head cracked into thousands of pieces. So many examples in the Vedic literature, in our Srimad Bhagavatam, of people wanted benedictions, but they were just the wrong benedictions. After Sudakshina's father, Kasiraj, was killed by Lord Krishna, when Krishna threw his Sudarsan Chakra at Kasiraj and cut his head off, and his Sudarsan Chakra carried the head of Kasiraj into the city of Kasi. And when Sudakshina, his son, saw the head as well as all the other people in the city, they thought, this Kasiraj must have cut off Krishna's head and thrown into the city, and to make us joyful, he's now sending his head into the city so we could stomp on it. But lo and behold, they discovered that it had the same smile as Kasi Raj had. The same ears, the same nose. And then they concluded, oh, this is Kasi Raj's head. and they were lamenting. Except for Sudakshina, he decided, I'm going to kill Krishna. So he performed austerities to Lord Shiva, who gave him the benediction that you perform the sacrifice with your brahmanas, and the result is that their big sacrifice, one demon will appear, and the demon will be able to go and destroy who is ever your enemy, except if it's a qualified brahmana, and therefore I'll send you some of my hobgoblins and other ghosts and pretas, bhutas, whatever, to go with you. They, especially the Brahmin Rakshasas, they may be able to kill your enemy. In any case, to perform the sacrifice created this horrible black demon, burning demon, setting the whole world on fire, went to Dwarka, was burning everything, and Krishna threw his Sudarshan Chakra at the demon, and the demon began to freeze, because the Sudarshan Chakra was so much hotter than the demon was. So everything is relative. If something hotter, then you become cooler. So the demon couldn't burn anything. He raced back to Kasi, Varanasi, and burnt the whole city to ashes. And then went to the priest who had created him, as well as Sudakshina, and burnt them to ashes. You create some demon to kill someone, and he can't kill that person, then he has to kill someone, so he'll come back and kill you. Such is the value of the benediction. Sometimes someone curses someone to die. Prabhupada gives the example of the vultures cursing the cow to die, as if his curse is going to actually have any, cow doesn't fall over, my dear vulture, let me die. To satisfy you. No, it has no effect on the cow. But if we curse the wrong person, we might come back and boomerang against us, and we get into difficulty. Like the example was Chapala, Gopal Chapala, who tried to defame Srivas Thakur by putting the worship, the paraphernalia to worship Durga Devi in front of his door. And Srivas Thakur woke up in the morning, went out, and he saw all the paraphernalia for worshiping Durga, the wine in the bottle, the certain leaf that Durga, the red leaf that Durga used for Durga worship. The arti tray had all the worship paraphernalia to worship Mother Durga. So Srivas Thakur, he called all the respectable men in the town, took them to the place where the paraphernalia was, and said, "See, just look here. Secretly at night, although you think I'm a great devotee and a brahmana, but actually secretly at night, I'm using this paraphernalia to worship Durga." So the townspeople, they thought, "Who's this rascal who's put this paraphernalia here?" They called for the kati. The sweeper came and swept all the paraphernalia away. But that wasn't the end of the story, because trying to defame Srivas Thakur, therefore that Gopala Chapala developed leprosy. His whole body started to wither away. His fingers started to wither away. His nose started to wither away. So he took shelter outside the city, because leprosy is contagious, and he didn't want to affect the other townspeople. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking by one day, going on his pilgrimage, and the Brahmin called out, "Oh, brother, you're the friend of the poor. I'm very poor. I'm suffering from leprosy. Please help me." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became angry and cursed him. Well, didn't curse him. He said, "You're a rascal. You defame Srivas Thakur. My benediction is may you rot in hell with this leprosy for billions of years." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on his pilgrimage, came back. Gopala Chapa realized that maybe he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a different way. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Your problem is that you try to defame Srivas Thakur. If you get his mercy, then you might get some other mercy." So he went and surrendered to Srivas Thakur. He got his mercy, and therefore his leprosy went away. So, of course, generally speaking, we're always looking for the quick mercy. My dear sadhu, give me your mercy. Like one time Prabhupada was in the car in a train going to a preaching tour in India, along with his sannyas disciples, and some Indian gentleman wanted to come into the same car wagon that Prabhupada was, in order to get his ashavad, his benedictions, his mercy. So the sannyasis, they realize these people are just going to waste Prabhupada's time. So they try to keep them away from the car. But somehow or another, they caught Srila Prabhupada's eye. And therefore, by the etiquette, if you catch someone's eye, they're obliged to recognize you. Otherwise, you're an impersonalist. And so Prabhupada invited them to come, to come onto the car. And he said, yes, very nice. What can I do for you? Oh, Swamiji, we want your ashivad. We want your benedictions. Your blessings. Oh, yes, no problem. What benedictions do you want? Oh, one said, I have this daughter. She's not married. So expensive to get a daughter married. I need your blessings. I can get the money so I can get my daughter married for her dowry. I can give her a dowry. Another one said, well, I have this wart on my foot. The doctor's taken it off many times, but it still comes back. I need your benedictions, your blessings. I need your mercy, please. So Prabhupada pointed to the sannyas disciples, their cloth, saffron cloth, and said to them, this is my mercy. And they were shocked, because no one ever asks, what kind of mercy do you want? Especially, and then pointing out that my mercy is this saffron cloth, the last thing that they wanted. So he said, Swamiji, you look very tired. I think maybe you'll come back later and get your benedictions, your ashivas, your mercy. So they left, never to return. So yes, we can get easy mercy, benedictions, but generally that kind of mercy is not permanent. The demigods can also give us their mercy if we pray to them, we do sacrifice to them. But Krishna says, Antavanta tu pulam te sham tadbhavatno pamedasam deva deva yajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. Those who worship the demigods, their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods will go to the planets of the demigods, and those who worship me will come to me. So the question is, what kind of benedictions do we want? Now in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the greatest benediction is to become conscious of me, because I'm the reservoir of all consciousness and all pleasure, all love, everything that we're looking for, that's all emanating from me eternally. And there's the process of achieving the mercy of getting my association. He says, Matshita Mashkata Prana Bodhyantash Parashparam Katayantashram Mam Nityam Tu Shanti Charamanticha. That the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me, and their lives are dependent upon me, and they derive great satisfaction, bliss, by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So real mercy is to learn how to actually hear about Krishna. Not just come to class and hear about Krishna, but to actually learn how to hear about Krishna in such a way is that we become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, our body can be here, but the question is where our mind is. If our mind is somewhere in outer space, then we're associating with outer space. But it takes some time. We have to learn the scientific technique of how to actually think about Krishna, how to engage not only our body by putting it here. Of course, we can go around and give everyone a gold star, including myself, for being here. And we can fill up our, look at that, I have so many gold stars. At the end of life, when the Yamadutas come to take us away, we show them the book. Wait a second, I have a book full of gold stars, you can't take me. And when the Vishnu Dutas come and say, what's your value? Look at my book, it's full of gold stars. What does that mean? It means I came to class. Really? It doesn't show up in our evaluation. Where were you during class? Oh, I was somewhere else. My mind was somewhere else, but my body showed up. So I got a lot of gold stars. Now, to actually learn how to focus the mind to hear in such a way as we experience Krishna consciousness. In other words, Krishna, to become conscious of Krishna only is dependent upon hearing. At the end of the day, when we chant Hare Krishna, it all falls flat. If nothing really happens to us when we chant Hare Krishna, then we're not going anywhere. At least we're chanting Hare Krishna. At least there's hope in the future. If we keep on chanting by accident, we'll chant right something more effective. But ultimately, if we keep on chanting shnik, shnik, ram, ram, day, 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 hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty, then we're not going anywhere. So we have to learn how to chant in such a way is that we actually experience Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. Become conscious of Krishna. That it's not just some sound vibration like every other sound vibration, but it's actually Krishna himself. And Hare is actually Srimati Radharani herself.
Move ring closed.
Thank you. Therefore, this hearing was actually what we're hearing is learning how to act in such a way is that we become more receptive to hearing about Krishna. Then, and what is that? Chitta and prana. They tell us how to utilize our life air, our breath, and our activities in order to do something in Krishna consciousness so that our chitta becomes full of Krishna, becomes aware of Krishna. And that's why we're hearing from the devotees. If we get the effect that we think that we become a little enlivened and encouraged that now I should become more serious about Krishna consciousness, well, that's very good. Then the class is effective, or what we're hearing about is effective. Whether we're doing it personally, hearing from Prabhupada's books or listening to tapes, whatever. If we become enlivened to become more serious about Krishna consciousness, then our hearing is effective. And what is that seriousness? Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So the two things that we have to become more steady in our sadhana, not only in the morning or in the evening, but also during the day, steadily trying to fix our mind upon Krishna in some way or another. And with priti, purvakam, with enthusiasm, with care and attention to please Krishna. It's not enough to just be doing things that are supposed to be Krishna conscious, but we also have to be doing it to please Krishna. That's the only way Krishna is going to reveal himself to us. Bhakti imam abhijananti yavan chasmati tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishute tan anantaram. Krishna is impressed by our devotion, not just by our mechanical activities. Our just desire to do something to please him. Then tesham eva nukamparatam. Then dadami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna will give us intelligence, such intelligence that we'll know what to do and how to do it in order to please Krishna. And tesham eva nukamparatam ahama jnana jam tamaha na shamyam yapmabhavashto jnana dipena bhashvata. To those who are constantly devoted to me. So there's another verse. Tesham eva nukampartam tate nukampam sushamikshamanam anukampam. Your compassion, your mercy. How to get it? By tolerance. Or as Prabhupada writes, one has to pass the test of the spiritual master And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So there's so many tests. Every day we're passing, have so many tests. There's that extra sweet ball, and our intelligence is saying, don't take it, and our tongue is saying, come on, be real. So it's a test. We pass the test, the fireworks don't shoot out, people don't throw themselves at our lotus feet, but Krishna is pleased. We utilize our intelligence, we accepted the intelligence coming from him, we become a little bit better servant for that moment at least. Then Krishna gives intelligence, and if we apply it, Krishna's saying, don't. And we're going, I want. Don't. He's trying to give us the intelligence, but then when we reject it, then we fall back again. We tried so hard, we were so enthusiastic in the kirtan, we were spinning, doing somersaults, we were in ecstasy, our sikha was standing on end, and then the glove demon, oh, I deserve it. It's me. Come on. But Krishna gave us the intelligence because we did some nice devotional service. And then if we continue to use it, then out of compassion, he reveals himself to us a little bit more. He puts us into a little bit more transcendental pleasure, and we become enlivened to continue on with the process. But if we keep on hitting the wall, moving that rock up the hole that we're in, and then as soon as we're about to push it out, we say, oh no, come on, it's so much fun pushing the rock up. Let me try it again. So Krishna may give us the intelligence, but unless we apply it and tolerate and keep on fixing our mind upon Krishna, pass the test of Krishna, then we just fall back where we were before. Not exactly, hopefully, but we have to pass the test, and then when Krishna gives us his mercy, then we can actually become qualified to enter into the kingdom of God gradually by becoming more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Less and less tricked by Maya, more and more aware of Krishna, and therefore more and more tolerant of whatever Maya is throwing at us. So I'll stop there and thank you. Any questions or comments? Well, the people who think that relate to only people who are, according to the dress that they're wearing, they're probably not very good candidates for hearing about Krishna. I mean, most of the people who come to the temple don't come to the temple because they don't, you know, I mean, they come, they have enough intelligence not to become distracted by the external dress. They come through transcendental knowledge. And if someone is so much concerned about their dress, then they're probably not going to get very much information from us anyhow. In any case, unless we show the example, how Prabhupada came here to teach people how to become a devotee. So unless we, and part of that is our dress. Otherwise, people are spending part of their income, a good part of their income, just going to style, changing their dress all the time. So this is practical. I mean, none of us have frozen to death so far wearing a dhoti. We haven't been carried away by the wind. And we haven't had to spend so much on our clothing. And we don't have to worry about what I'm going to wear today. You know, spend half an hour trying to pick out our dhoti. Which dhoti I'm going to wear today. Whether my kurta matches my dhoti today. So we save so much time. Just like most of us, we don't comb our hair every day for 3 hours. There's not much to comb. So we save so much time for Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Yes. Is that on? Does someone know how to put it on? We also have to be a little practical. If something doesn't work, we have to... Now, if it was made out of ice cream, you could eat it, even if it didn't work.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. Thank you for the lecture. I would like to ask about how many hours is good for sleeping, how many hours, because I read that Srila Prabhupada said it's 6 hours. It's good, and more is oversleeping.
No, 6 to 8 hours, Prabhupada said.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to be sleeping during class, or sleeping when we're driving, or half awake. So we should get what's necessary, so that we're awake. Otherwise, we're wasting our, you know, somehow or another, we're going to be asleep or half asleep.
During the day, it's like a snap or
a snap.
Like sleeping or
sleeping
during the day is not good for the health.
Well, it's not good to completely fall asleep, but a little if you lie on your left side after eating for 15 minutes or something, if you're awake, that's good.
Okay.
It's all right.
Thank you.
But anyhow, it's a question of practice. Generally, we get sleepy at certain times of the day or after we eat. So we try to improve a little bit, then gradually our sleepiness will reduce. Or set an alarm clock so that a timer so you don't sleep too much.
Okay. One more question. I'm sure you know about the situation in Ukraine. How should we as...
I think Krishna knows the situation in Ukraine.
But how should the devotees see this kind of things happening?
Take shelter when the bombs come down. Chant Hare Krishna. What else are you going to do? That's usually our solution to most problems. Especially that kind of problem. All right.
There's one more question from Avadhutara Prabhu. He says, in Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, person who after worshipping Govinda do not worship his followers, do not receive the mercy of the Lord. And in Padma Purana, he who after worshipping Govinda does not worship his devotee is not considered a devotee but a proud person. Please comment.
Yeah, Krishna says, one who considers himself, says he's my devotee, is not my devotee, but one who says he's the devotee, my devotee, he's actually my devotee. So Krishna is appearing also, not only as the deity, but he's also appearing as his devotees. And we have to learn the art of serving the devotees appropriately. According to their level of spiritual advancement, we serve them appropriately. Khala, Grantara, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.